friends, and welcome to the Experience Grind podcast, the show about getting older and the experiences we've gained along the way through movies, TV, games, music, pop culture, what have you. I'm your host this week, and I can talk real good with mouth words. I am your host this week, Brian, and boy, do I have an experience for you. This week, we're talking about Tiptoes, the movie with a premise so insane, most people see the trailer and think it's an SNL sketch. Joining me, as always, is my secret family. He won't be home this week because he has to teach at a firefighter summer camp. It's Kyle.
All right, so.
Oh, no.
Controversial take here. I think Kate Beckinsale's pretty hot.
Ooh, wait, hot take. Wait.
That's controversial.
He once invited a bunch of people to a party and proceeded to have sex in a room with not one, not two, but three glass walls. It's Ryan.
I fucking noticed this too. The balls on this. And then to walk in there like you just discovered it when there is glass right there showing everything. But until that door opens, the wool is
kinda
over your eyes.
What's going on there until I came in here and turned the light on?
This is why you bring in Gary Oldman, because he is an actor.
It could have been one of them newfangled Japanese toilets outside, huh?
Okay, yeah, could have been a bidet situation and not David Alan Greer in a bad wig.
Good wig.
Yeah.
And in the role of a lifetime, stuffed inside a couch with fake little legs hanging out in front of him, it's Sean.
I use those fake little legs to tiptoe through the Tim Meadows.
Through the tulips.
You.
Oh. Me and all my
That's
favorite Tonys.
That's a special little treat for the Patreons, for all of our Patreon listeners.
Yeah, money. You'll get that in a week.
I love recording those prior to this so that we can just pepper the episode with just little, this is the only clues. Time I'm ever going to remember what we talked about.
Yeah.
And I'm going to pepper it and immediately forget the last hour and a half.
But sometime in 4 to 5 days, somebody will be listening to that and be like, ha, they did say that was a thing.
They did the thing. They said the thing, Tim Meadows.
Anyway, yeah, Tiptoes is a movie that I saw the trailer for and was like, well, I have to see this movie, and I refuse to do it alone. So, have any of you boys actually seen this movie prior to this?
The big old no from me.
It's notorious.
I saw it as soon as I saw the trailer, and I was like, well, okay, I have to watch this movie. And then I've seen it one other time, showing it to some friends.
So this is your third time, your third trip on your tiptoes.
Oh my god, your thriptoe.
I am so sorry.
Your thriptoes, is that what you just said?
I did, and I was hoping nobody heard it.
I did. Spotlight on Ryan.
Pretty good. Had Sean, Ryan, had either of you actually heard of this movie?
Yes, actually. Person that I talk about often on this show, Paul from work, has mentioned this movie times, and never in a he never recommends a movie that like is good like ever. So like I knew
suffer through this one for sure.
I knew the idea, and as soon as you said it last week, I was like, oh shit, I can't wait to tell Paul. And then every single day, my ADHD is like, I don't remember what I got to tell him.
And then I did tell Paul. I wish I could remember what it was.
Yeah, now that I see Paul. And then yesterday, I remembered right before I was leaving and I came back in. I was like, hey, Paul, blah de blah. And he goes, I'm sorry.
That is the appropriate reaction. Listeners, if you have not heard of Tiptoes, I beg you, before we spoil this movie, to not watch the movie. Don't do that, but pause and watch the trailer for this movie, because the trailer for this movie is so much better than the movie.
And then watch the movie. It's on Tubi.
Yeah, it's on Tubi. If you got the time to kill, why not? I did a double feature of Birdemic Shock and Terror, followed by Tiptoes. And let me tell you, what a night.
You did it in the wrong order.
You did this to yourself, absolutely, though, too.
Yeah.
At least in one of them.
Yeah. I'm going to step in, and Brian tortured himself and is telling you not to watch it. Watch it and then come back.
Form your own opinion. Yeah.
Yeah. And then give us money.
Anyway, mostly.
But if you're not going to do all that, I'm going to tell you what this movie's about right now. Steven, Academy Award winning actor Matthew McConaughey, is dating Carol, played by Kate Beckinsale, and he has hidden from her the fact that his entire family are little people, including his twin brother, Rolf, Academy Award winner and knighted Sir Gary Oldman in the role of a lifetime, who is, of course, 11 years older than Matthew McConaughey, is his twin brother, as who twins? Is a little person.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's
I've never heard of twins separated by a decade. Have you?
It's transformative, his performance.
Gary Oldman can be anyone.
Yeah.
Anyone.
Even Tim Meadows.
That was just
what you don't know is one of the four hosts of this podcast is actually Gary Oldman, and you'll never guess which one.
It's me.
So Rolf road trips through the desert with French Peter Dinklage and Bicorn Road Patricia Arquette, riding tricycles, crashing in motels, and generally living like lovable chaos gremlins.
Did you just call those badass fucking motorcycles they were on tricycles?
Did you just call those tricycles badass motorcycles?
Those things were fucking sick, dude. Dude, those things are gnarly. Yo, if the fucking motor mice from Mars or whatever the fuck had one of those, the show would never, they never would have gotten canceled. Yeah.
For me, all needed was one more wheel.
With Patricia Arquette, the cornrows aren't the deal breaker. It's the fucking crystals.
The crystals aren't that much, aren't they?
One of my favorite Letterboxd reviews said,
in a movie where everyone's a bit much.
Oh, 100%.
It's so jarring going from Severance to this. Jesus Christ. It was like halfway through the movie, and I had to look. Like, I knew Patricia Arquette was in this movie, and then I completely forgot as soon as the movie started. And halfway through the movie, I'm like, who is that? I know who that is.
Know her.
Yeah.
Steven attends a little people convention and briefly reconnects with Rolf, who has his own tumultuous relationship with Sally, who's played by a real-life little person porn star. Steven heads home and immediately implodes when Carol reveals she's pregnant. The possibility of having a dwarf child sends Steven into full avoidance mode. He's not going to deal with his problems. Rolf, Peter Dinklage, and Patricia Arquette spiral through a string of misadventures, including sexual frustration, public meltdowns, mixing booze with morphine, and violent run-ins with motel staff and fully-sized roommates. This eventually causes Rolf to wander back into Steven's life, and he meets Carol, who is understandably startled by the surprise of a twin brother. Especially this twin brother. The extended group collide at parties and gatherings where old resentments flare. Peter Dinklage loudly rejects the expectations placed upon him by other little people. Sally has sex with David Alan Grier, and Rolf confronts Steven for being ashamed of his family. Steven and Carol decide to have the baby, even as Steven continues to struggle, and after a brief stretch of normalcy, including their wedding, the child is born a little person, pushing Steven past what he can emotionally handle. Carol retreats to a secluded cabin owned by Rolf, which begs the question, why has he been couch surfing this whole movie? Where he helps raise the baby and becomes Carol's emotional anchor. Steven eventually arrives, but can't bridge the gap. So that night after the baby is asleep, Carol tells Rolf that he can kiss her if he wants, and they make out while the credits roll.
Ta-da!
That certainly is a movie.
That was a little bit short of a kiss to be considered a make out, but...
You're right. It was a quick kiss, but it was also very abrupt to go to credits after it.
I kid you not, like, I think I sent you guys a GIF, but they kiss and the credits hit. And, like, I was looking at Sarah and she was looking at the screen and she made the exact same reaction that I did, which was just like a, like, you know, when you just blink and roll your eyes up at the same time and shake your head in disbelief. It was just like
what? Yeah.
Uh-huh. Wait.
Taken aback.
What?
I forgot to mention Patricia Arquette is also an Academy Award winner, and Peter Dinklage is a
How? Academy winner. Mm-hmm. How?
Stacked.
How is Patricia Arquette an Academy Award winner? What did she win for?
Oh, what did she win for? It was
See.
Was it Traffic?
Was she in Traffic? I don't remember her, and maybe that's
this is
my
terrible
fault.
For
she
a podcast.
She was Best Supporting Actress in Boyhood.
Oh, is that what she won? 2015. Okay, that's fair. She committed to the bit, and that's why she got the award. I won't say it's
was
for
it a
talent.
Weak year.
Listen,
boom,
she committed to this bit.
There's
too.
My hot take. Mm-hmm. She's the weakest of the Arquettes.
Wow,
that's saying
really?
Something.
And that is saying something. That is saying something. With. Yeah.
Okay.
Who's weakest the one the from Friends? Because she's pretty weak.
Wait, who? She?
Who's the one from Friends?
David. David Cox Arquette, the dude. Is there another Arquette. Sister Arquette on Friends?
Courtney.
Well,
Cox
she's not
Arquette
an Arquette. She's only like marriage.
Yeah, and, like, but she's still inherited
the
some of the Arquette-ness.
Okay, then she's like at the top of the Arquettes. She married in
she
and dominated.
Huh.
Oh, this is my family
true.
Now.
We are getting off topic here. Let's go back
we
to... We're tiptoeing around the subject.
We
here,
are tiptoeing around tiptoes.
Wait, did you say David Cox Arquette?
That's his name.
Yeah.
You? Somebody did. Ryan did.
I did. Yeah,
Ryan,
I will Ryan, say Ryan. It forever. David Cox Arquette. Even if Caught something happens,
guard,
it's David
bro.
Cox Arquette forever now.
That's
Was that
just
a thing
the way
that
it is.
Okay.
That's just the way it I'm is. Do-do-do.
Some things will never be the same. Do-do-do. Boys, our first Do-do-do. Category is story, and I really want to know what Sean thinks here.
Yep. Man, I think you're making a mistake here. Okay, boys, I am so conflicted on this movie. Knowing about the movie and the movie's like timeline and history and story here, and that like the director's cut of this is 2.5 hours long that Peter That's Dinklage insane. Calls a beautiful movie.
Uh-huh.
That got it butchered ran,
it,
down
it
to...
Got,
yeah.
It ran one time at like Sundance.
At a film then, festival.
Yeah.
And people have been trying to get their hands on it since that it's a beautiful movie that tells like an actual emotional story that got butchered down into a comedy because, you know... It had nothing even to do with Matthew Bright, but we'll get there. I found that out like as the movie was starting, and the first like 10 minutes prior to that, I was just like, what the fuck is happening right now? And then I took a step back and tried to see this story, like this story that was trying to tell something amazing about like, just, I don't know. I thought the next hour and 15 minutes were, I liked the movie. I enjoyed the movie a lot. And then the end was, I was like, what? So I am so all over the place because I do see like some of the beauty in the story there. But then it's just like kind of a mess in a lot of other spaces. And like, I heard that this was a romance, a rom-com. Wow. How could I not figure out what that was? Then I was like, wait, how? Why? What? And then the last minute.
And then,
this is out of 5 feet. I'll give this movie a solid 2.5 feet.
Right down the middle.
Yeah. Yeah. 2.5, like honestly, even looking back at it, I liked the story and what it was trying to tell, like that you could still pull out of it. Oh, I have to send it to somebody. Brian, how about you go ahead and fight back?
Against a 2.5? I don't know how to fight against the middle.
I'm actually going to bump it to a 3.
There
I liked
it is.
It more than being neutral on.
And now I can fight about it. No, I'm also all over the place with this movie. I was expecting a much worse movie based on the trailer. And part of me kind of think like if it was worse, it would have been better. And I know that's a really weird thing to say, but I think the experience would have been more enjoyable if the movie was a little worse. I think there's like clear signs here that they knew what they were doing, and then something happened along the way to ruin that. It helps that we have the post stuff, knowing Matthew McConaughey and Peter Dinklage's takes on the movie after it's been filmed, knowing this was supposed to be something completely different, and then it got completely caught up in the production system, and it just kind of got pulled apart and then slapped together, and not even marketed to something else because they just decided to send this straight to DVD. All that to say, the story, I'm with Sean. It's there, but they made some very weird choices, and I would also probably give it a 2.5, but because I didn't like it as much, I'm just going to give it a 2. So we even out to a 2.5. And then I want to know what Ryan thinks.
Oh, I think I'm more with Sean on this one. This is a movie I did not see the trailer, so I didn't have any expectations, but it's one I've heard about, and one I heard was like notoriously bad in the same way like that Sia directed movie was Music or whatever that came out a few years ago. That got a lot of bad press because somebody, you know, did an impression way too accurately or hard or whatever, and it was just not tastefully received. The difference is this came out 20 plus years ago, and I had to do a little bit of research because Tropic Thunder came out in 2008, so this is like a full 6 years after this movie. So with that context, with what was still allowed, and I mean, honestly, Rob Schneider was doing fucking brown face and stupid shtick way up until like the 2010s with like, I Now Pronounce You Chuck and Larry. So like,
if he could, he'd do it today.
Honestly, I was going in expecting really something offensive and awful here, and was pleasantly surprised by kind of the heart here and like the really good intention and like the well-meaningness behind all of this. It feels like a passion project. I hate hearing that it was ripped down from a 2.5-hour movie, but it also totally checks out because there were moments where I was like, this is a weird choice to make. And then they never follow up on these choices again, like bringing the two firefighter women to the party. Nothing happening with that. But why did we make a fucking scene of this and him throwing the phone? Like, Laura and I also watched this movie together, and we were just like, oh, so he's going to like show up with these women to make her jealous and try to implode the relationship and make a scene and all this. And then that doesn't happen. And it's like the most whatever. And so then I was like, all right, that's weird. But it's also, in a lot of ways, and so I am bearing the lead. I'm going to be at about 3-2. But I think in a lot of ways, with as weird as this could have gone, the way it's kind of mundane is why I'm at a 3. I'm not like more overly positive on this because I do think there's a more interesting drama here. But I do think it like really kind of captures the averageness of some relationships, and it's not spectacular, and sometimes it kind of feels real. Sometimes. And then there are some stylistic choices and other things that make it not. But like, I think story-wise, I think there's moments of authenticity here that should be praised. I'm with Sean. I'm more on the positive side on this one of the story.
That was a big thing for me, was like a lot of the insane realness that came across a lot that you just don't see in other things. Like this raw realness.
I did want to clarify that when I said I wanted the movie to be worse, I did not mean story-wise or like the brow level of humor, because I agree with you. I think this movie has heart and it treats a potentially rocky subject matter in a very respectful way for the most part. I wish the production value was worse because I think it would have made the movie more fun. That's all I meant by
Brian,
that.
I can't wait to get to style.
Agreed.
Brian, can I say what you're trying to say?
Yeah.
Okay.
Jesus, take the wheel.
Yeah, I'm trusting you with this.
There's a Creed song.
You
about
speak
this,
for me now. So.
Yeah, fair enough. You nailed it very accurately, and I know exactly what you mean by you wish this movie was bad. As a gigantic fan, much to the detriment of primarily Ryan, of terrible movies. I love awful movies. The reason I generally don't like this one and don't recommend it, it's not awful. That's not to say I don't hate it. I fucking hate this movie. This movie is crap. This is melodramatic schlock, made for TV ass bullshit. The reason that it's not in that so bad that it's good is because at the end of the day, you have three fucking Academy Award winners delivering this schlock. Like, they are fucking good at what they do. Mm-hmm. Gary Oldman is fully believable as a little person for 90-ish percent of this movie, outside of, like, there's one scene where you clearly see him on his knees. You see him shuffling across the floor, hidden by a not very well-placed coffee table.
Sarah goes, you can see his calves.
100%. But even that, like, outside of, like, the shock of that the first time you see it, that's not enough to make this a good, bad movie to watch. Because that's, unless you're just, like, leaning towards, like, just laughing at a little person, which is not funny. Like, it's, right, it's not good because it's just, you might get a chuckle. But again, like I said, it's so, it doesn't give it that oomph because these are fucking great actors. And even with, like, a paper bag, they're going to make it at least something there, and they're going to emote with it and give it weight. I sound very harsh. I'm not a one on it. I think you're pretty white, right? It's in the two area. Like, it's so butchered, so vague, and like I said, so ham-fisted, and I hate every part of that, and I hate this mellow. It's so out of fucking left field, Matthew McConaughey's turn as a man that's been raised in the acceptance of this.
No, it's
we
not.
Can argue differently.
I will argue to with me, you on that one.
And that's fine.
It's
that,
throughout
the way
the
that
whole
I do not see him as, and completely shutting down and abandoning the child. I don't know, man. It just, none of that rang even authentic or accurate, or I don't know. We could argue about it, but to me, it fell very hollow and short. So,
yep.
We'll have overall, to me, story, I'm on a two. So,
no. Really got me about this movie is that, like, everything that I read
I
and that
I
heard
what I want
was it's do bad want, or bro. I would see it's so bad it's good, and then at the end of the movie I was like, that's not even a bad movie.
Mm-mm. Like, that's what I'm saying.
That's
what
I think surprised me the most.
Yeah,
bias out of the score, and that's why I'm giving it a two.
That's an expectation thing, though. That's not coming at the movie for what it's presenting.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, that story. Next up is characters. And you know what? Why don't we have Kyle lead this one off?
This one I am going to be lower on because I do think these characters are hollow, one-dimensional, cardboard. The only one that really does much of anything, weirdly enough, Kate Beckinsale goes through, does some character growth. It's a bit ham-fisted. And Gary Oldman is something. But again, it all just feels, I don't know. And maybe it's just in the presentation. Maybe I am bringing my biases to it. But I wasn't really moved by any character or any performance. I don't know. None of it really worked for me. And overall, for characters, I'm at a one. And a lot of that's mostly on Gary Oldman. It's also crazy to me. And again, I don't know. Maybe it because of the era and when it came out, it was so weird to see Peter Dinklage in this and in the role that he was in. Because I also feel Maurice is, again, also just a very shallow, one-dimensional character. And maybe so much of this is lost in the 2.5-hour director's cut. But yeah. I don't know, and I didn't see that. This is what I saw. So characters are at a 1. And bring me back up, Sean.
Man, oh man. I really disagree.
Oh, sorry.
So desperately. I think Matthew McConaughey's character is incredible. I mean, the character, the person, the whatever, not incredible. But I thought the way that he was portrayed was so well done, because from the very beginning, there's just hints of his shame. And even like meeting at the small person convention, how just like kind of just the way he's standing, there's like this uncomfortability there. And there's just so much that just slowly unravels through the whole movie, to when it gets to the point where he like kind of just explodes, one, at the birth, and two, when they separate. Like, okay, well, saw that coming. I was hoping that the movie would give him the growth of acceptance in here. Like, that's how far back it went for me, that I thought that was his journey to acceptance. I thought Maurice was funny, great. I even thought the family members had a good, not a crazy amount of depth, but a good amount of depth. I thought the characters were awesome, but also in characters has casting. And Sarah and I were talking, Peter Dinklage could easily have been Ralph. Mm-hmm. Literally any of the other little people could have been Maurice. And Gary Oldman didn't need to be in this. And that in itself would have been a better movie. I was not affected at all by Gary Oldman being in here. Like, I get it. I get the outrage, whatever. In the shots where it was a very tight shot on it, I'll admit at times, like, I would just forget for a couple of minutes. And then it would pull back out. And I'm like, is he standing there? Like, if you stretched him in the chair out, is he as tall as Kate Beckinsale? I think he is. Like, there's moments like that. But I don't know. I'm much higher on this. I'm easily a 3.5 or a 4 on this. And I'll go, I'm going to go with 4. Holy, I'm going to go 4 on this and send it to Ryan.
Well, all right, so I would just like a real quick addendum to story, because I forgot story includes script. And I will say, while I was super high on the story, and I really kind of liked what they were doing, and I felt it was like very grounded and vulnerable, the dialogue was at times awful. The dialogue needed a lot of work, and like that could be a super issue. So I will not besmirch anybody for giving a 2. I'm not going to change my 3. But I will say a 2 is warranted.
Psyched us out.
I will say a 2 is warranted. characters. I'm stalling because I don't know where to go, honestly, when it comes to characters. I think the cast is great, and I'm just gonna rock it right off of what Sean was saying. And like the inclusion of like some of these supporting characters is fantastic. It is problematic now to look back at Gary Oldman's casting as appropriation and all this stuff, but I do think the fact that there are dozens and dozens and dozens of other little people in this movie, and they go out of their way to give all of these people their time to shine and like their moments to talk, and like they give moments to like the family and all this stuff. This is fantastic. I think it's great. I think this movie, going back to like the well-meaningness, like it's there. Its heart is in the right place. I think Gary Oldman is the one thing you can point at. But I think if you look at like literally anything else this movie is talking about or saying, or like how like Kate Beckinsale keeps using like the M word, and then she eventually starts using dwarf and whatever, like it's, mm-hmm. it knows what it's doing. Its head is in the right place. It has like, it's good. It's got a good train. And these characters, I think, really help flesh that message out. And I think they're pretty, This is where I'm conflicted. I think the characters are true, and I don't think they really shift for the sake of the plot. Like, I think a character is a character throughout. I think the arc for, oh my God, my brain went dead. Matthew McConaughey's character. Like, I think it's there. I agree with Sean. Like, I think all that's very visible from the start. I think the jabs at him to go to therapy early on before anything even pops out, like, he's got issues he's suppressing when it comes to, like, his family and some internal shame that he thinks he's through, but he's not really through, and it comes through in this big way. But then I also agree with Kyle in that a lot of these characters are a little bit flattened because of the runtime, and it does feel, now that you say it was a 2.5 hour movie, like some of these characters, like Maurice, do get a little bit of the short shrift where they're a big part of the movie and then just they kind of disappear. And same with Patricia Arquette, just like bounces for like the last third of the movie. I also think it's all over the place. But again, I'm more positive on it. I think the cast is good. And this is even including the fact that it has Patricia Arquette, one of the most overrated Arquettes in Hollywood. And I'm still going to give it a 3.
I'll drop to a 3.5. I was going to say, I'll drop to a 4.5, please. drop me to a 3.5, please.
Sure. I think you're the first person to use a half point.
Ever?
At least since I've been here.
Wait. Oh, wait. We don't do half points? Oh, yeah. We don't do half points.
Well, I was letting you, but...
I was going to fly, but...
I really didn't care. If you want to do a half point, do a half point.
Between a 3 and a 4, I'm staying at a 4.
I figured that would be the case.
Yep.
Yeah, these characters, I don't know who I agree with here, because...
Pick a side.
I think Kyle was mostly right in story when he said, these are fucking Academy Award winning actors, and whatever you give them, they're going to do it well. And I just don't know that there's much for any of these people to be doing other than Kate Beckinsale. And I think the advertising for this movie did a disservice to the movie by making it seem like it was a Matthew McConaughey movie and not a Kate Beckinsale movie. Because she is definitely the main character here. She has the biggest arc. Matthew McConaughey is a dick through most of this movie. So it's not surprising when he all of a sudden is like, yeah, I'm not raising this kid. But, like, yeah, I don't know. There's certain moments in this movie that just don't ring true to me. And I think that is, the characters make decisions that don't seem like they're on brand for their character a few times. And not in a depth kind of way, but in a, like, we actually don't know what this character is kind of way. Like, you have moments of Matthew McConaughey dancing with the little girls at the convention, and you're like, okay, this is a good guy. And then he's, you know, he gets butt hurt because somebody says he needs therapy. At the same time, though, she's known about this for a day. To come at him like that is kind of crazy. But when she reiterates the therapy thing, she's absolutely right. And he does need therapy. He's got a lot to deal with here. But it just, I don't know. It seems so odd, the relationship he has with his twin brother, and also just buying them as twins is a whole other thing. But I don't know. This is all Gary Oldman's character isn't even that likable. So for him to end up with her at the end, I don't know. He seems like he's just kind of going along with everything that's happening. And he's just like, yeah, whatever. If things are going to happen to me, I'm going to bounce off them, and I'm going to still be in the movie because I'm the hook for the advertising campaign. Gary Oldman in the performance of a lifetime. Like
Uncle Buck that becomes Prince Charming.
Yeah. So, oh, also, when your baby falls asleep, it's like your first night in this strange place. I'm going to kidnap the baby. He doesn't really kidnap her, but kidnap the kid. But like it's your first night in a place, and your ex's twin brother, who could barely walk on his own, is going to carry your infant child from the room
infant child
while you're sleeping. I don't know. It's just... 2, I guess. 2.
Yes.
I didn't have. Yes.
Is this the first time we've had a 1, 2, 3, 4?
I think this might be the first time we've had a 1, 2, 3, 4.
Huh. Achievement. That's unlocked. A
small flush.
That's it. Yeah, we've done it. Podcast over. That's it. That's the self-destruct
code. Podcast over. We did a 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Ryan was just waiting for your voice. Yes!
Yep. He's like, I don't care how you like the movie or the characters. I just want you to give it a 2.
You got me.
Oh, he almost crapped his pants when Sean was changing his to a 3.5.
I really was. I was like, you're going to ruin it. We have a chance.
No, we can do it.
Ryan's like, you can't give 0.5 points.
Next category is style.
Round up.
I want Ryan to do style.
Okay. So I've been very positive on this movie. Now is where the shift happens, because I think this movie is shot like ass, and it is edited poorly. The phone call between Matthew McConaughey and Kate Beckinsale stands out, in which McConaughey, for the viewer who is obviously not like listening with her, they're listening, it's audio. It is a full frame. You see his whole body. He's talking to her. It's all normally shot. But then whenever we cut to Kate Beckinsale, it's a super fucking close up on her lips, but like with a very hazy filter. It is 100% how they would shoot like phone sex commercials in the late 90s. And it's,
I thought they were hiding her boinking the brother.
That's what I thought too. I thought it was going to be like a surprise. Like she was doing something dirty without him or something, or like, it's so fucking insanely shot. And there are so many of these choices where it's just like, why did you choose this shot? There's also another scene where, Maurice is having an argument in the kitchen with, I cannot remember the character's
name. The uncle.
It is Bobby Uncle Barry. Bobby. With Bobby Barry, because they have very different political viewpoints. And the way the camera frames Maurice is he is very tall and dominant in the frame. He takes up all of the frame. It's like an upward shot angle. And then anytime they cut to Bobby Barry, it's a downwards angle looking at them, making very diminutive. And like film language tells you that Bobby Barry is in the incorrect, that he is wrong in this conversation, that Maurice has all the power. But what Maurice is doing is actually super wrong and fucked up and not cool, and is even stopped by Rolf, Gary Oldman, at some point. So it's this like really misuse of like film language, or like misunderstanding of film language. And this is just throughout. This is a one for me. I think the style's awful. I really did not like anything here. The music choices were questionable. I didn't like the sound. The costuming was awful. What the fuck? I understand like 2000s costuming, but like how the fuck did they dress Kate Beckinsale? And what's with all the stupid hats?
Okay.
Sean,
I'll let Kyle take that one too. Yeah, I'll let Kyle take that one.
Sorry, we'll hop to Kyle then.
If you notice in the credits, there's one credit for the specific hair and makeup person that was hired just to do Kate Beckinsale's hair every day. I believe it was a personal hire by her, and that is why all of her hair is... It's ridiculous, man.
I thought it was a wig.
Oh, I thought you were going with a different story. I have a different story about that hat.
Go. Oh, the hat I know about. I'm just talking about, like, dude, when she fucking stylizes her own, like, poofy little Dr. Seuss trees, and then, like, nobody does that to themselves. I don't know. Please tell me.
Oh, yeah. Kate Beckinsale only agreed to do the movie for the price she did it at if she could wear her lucky hat in the movie. And it actually started a whole fight between the director and the producers, because the producers wanted the hat gone. And he was like, it's the only reason she's doing the movie for as low as she is so she could wear her lucky hat.
Yo, 100% let her do it. But that said, there were more than just one hat.
There were several.
The other hat, too, was more ridiculous than the lucky hat. And I'm like, the producers wanted that hat?
Maybe that was the lucky hat.
When she goes to the backyard barbecue?
Who knows how many lucky hats this woman has?
I can't even picture a single hat that you guys are talking about.
Oh, I wish there's... I mean, in Brian's infographic, there's one of the hats.
Oh, yeah. Hey, I...
That's one of them. There are like two or three other ones. And they're all...
Oh, yeah, she wears fucking... So many hats, and not in a metaphorical way.
Legitimately, I'm looking at this picture that you put together from this movie. I don't remember ever seeing that.
There's one that's specifically where she's in a crop top that's like so fucking high and she has like the lowest waisted pants. But then she has like a ski hat on. And I'm like, what are we fucking doing?
But I was like,
what are we fucking doing?
The producers wanted this hat and they had a problem with the fucking regular looking toboggan.
Yep. Yep.
Ryan, who are you sending style to?
Sean. Because I think he's going to balance me out here.
What did you give it?
I gave it a one. I went hard.
You gave it a one?
I didn't like the style. God, I liked everything else. I didn't like how it was shot or edited or costumed or produced.
Much like, man, I said it earlier. I'm so fucking conflicted on this movie because like everything you're saying is right. Everything is completely true. But... And also, what Kyle said is true. It's a TV-ass fucking made-for-TV movie. Legit is, like, straight down to the music that plays throughout this entire thing. It's so fucking generic. And, like, generic rock, generic pull at heartstrings, like, all of the most Hallmark bullshit.
Generic ever. Reggae sex scene for some reason.
Dudes, but man, oh man, like... I was so endlessly entertained by the Gary Oldman shit. And I just...
Save it for the next category.
Oh, what's the next category?
Entertainment value.
Entertainment. Man, but the thing is like, so much of that is due to the shots and the angles and the choices that they made to put these scenes together that entertained me. And so, like, stylistically... Like, I don't want to punish it because of how much, like, entertainment that it brought me. But I'm also not going to go, like, above a three. Like, with all of that being said, I still think it only deserves a two, even though I want to give it a three. But I think it only deserves a two.
A one, two, three, four still on the table.
You know what, Kyle? Kyle, bounce me back out.
Yeah, but it's off the table. It's off the table.
We might get a 0, 1, 2, 3.
Because he's though. Going 5.
Sean.
0, 1, 2, 3. Let's go.
Hey, just real quick. Describe Kate Beckinsale's opening scene.
Kate Beckinsale's opening scene. Well, it opens with the guys on their tricycles. And then... Oh, fuck off, Kyle. Fuck off. Fuck all the way off. Man, I literally, 2 minutes into the movie, I hated this movie. And then up until now, I forgot about those first 2 minutes. Mm-hmm. That bitch is painting a wall that is completely dry with a palette that is completely dry with paintbrushes that have zero paint on them.
Don't and argue with her. She's fucking, a professional artist.
They're doing close-ups of her doing nothing to a painting. Fuck off, Kyle, too.
There's also Gary Oldman standing out in front of the grill with the grill open and literally nothing else except for a fucking oven mitt.
Yep.
Yeah. What are you doing? What are you doing
about to grill this
grill?
Oven mitt.
Yeah, I'm at a zero for style. I've said it about made for TV ass movie. Ain't nothing cool here, man. Right. Nothing really. And I'm not being deliberately mean. It's just it's flat. Mm-hmm. It's boring. Does Gary Oldman's character have a hunchback or not? I don't know.
Sometimes
he does. I thought okay. I thought that was actually very well done.
Sometimes it looks like he's got like a stuffed animal under his shirt.
It depends on
with the
shot.
Limitations that they had casting a full ass human to be a small person. With the limitations they had, they did good job.
Those legs on the Gary couch Oldman. Are fucking. Jim Henson made those fucking legs.
Did he really
put on that couch? No, but they look like fucking Muppet ass puppet legs. They
don't Muppet do ass puppet legs,
bros. For a guy that. For a like guy
they were
that
stuffed
this
newspaper
whole movie
in some jeans.
For a guy that was 90% torso this entire movie, they gave him legs in that scene that were as big as the rest of his body. And I was like, so that motherfucker's 6 feet tall right now on that couch.
I love the quick like, cut those where are they fake have the body legs. Double.
They like, made him taller.
Flopping onto the couch, and then they cut to like just those fucking puppet legs not moving, and Gary Oldman's still like settling in like...
I'm so glad they didn't try to show him getting into that couch file. With the baby.
Brian, take it away.
Now, I did say earlier that I watched this movie immediately after watching Birdemic Shock and Terror, so it automatically got forgiven for a few things. Because if we're talking style, I mean, that's a movie that... that was shot by people who did not know how to shoot a movie. So I guess that actually is a little bit more forgivable because, man, there are so many things that now that you've pointed them out, now I see them. But while I was watching it, I completely missed because my expectations had been already set so low that anything it did well was surprising to me. And that's why, again, why I think this movie would have been better if it was worse. But stylistically, they sure were trying to make it a bad movie. There are so many things wrong with this that, yeah, and especially what Ryan was saying earlier about the misuse of cinematic language was prevalent, and it was like, why are we shooting things this way? And it was, you know, a tiny bit misogynistic. So I think what we're going to do is I can't give it a zero.
But you can give it a three.
We're not getting another short straight, Ryan. I'm sorry.
You can.
I think I'm going to go with a one. And I do feel a little bad about it because that feels like some Birdemic territory. But I'm going to go with a one.
Brian, you said this movie's misogynistic. I didn't get that at all. What happens... to Kate Beckinsale immediately after Sean's description?
I don't remember. Oh, right. After she's painting, she tries to end an argument by blowing Matthew McConaughey.
Do you think that was a reference to Little People?
Yeah, she got down.
I saw that immediately, and I saw that shot, and I was like, is this some kind of, like, weird foreshadowing? Yeah. Like, this angle, this everything, and it, like, gets in Matthew McConaughey's head, and this is, like, immediately he's just, like, kind of, like,
fucking put off by it. Don't make me think there's hope for this movie. Do I want to see the director's cut now?
Dude, I think there's shit here, dude. I think that was intentional.
I don't know.
Like, I wasn't joking.
With all context removed,
he can't do it because it reminds him of his family.
That's what I thought, like, and he immediately pushes away because of it. I'm like, there's something that's kind of maybe smart.
But he's messed around with Little People before. He's been in a circle jerk.
It's meta on a level because she's in the same position his brother Rolf is.
Yeah.
Because she's on her knees.
And he wouldn't let Rolf blow him.
If this movie was made today, where they don't trust audiences, they would have just had, like, Gary Oldman's face, like, down... where Kate Beckinsale is, like, in that scene, like, just
they would have superimposed it.
And he shakes the image away.
Yeah. Hi, big brother.
Yeah.
We can't do this anymore, because I'm conflicted about my tiny brother and my weird heritage that I am very ashamed of.
And also, genetically, probably cannot carry on, but, like, we're going to ignore all that.
And it carries on. And I'm totally, like, super cool with it because, again, aforementioned circle jerk.
Yeah. And it's not like we have the technology to find out if our baby has any kind of issues before the moment of actual birth.
You think this is made in the year 2000 or something?
Yeah, we've been here. You would have known.
Entertainment value.
E-value.
Sean.
Oh, why you gotta go with me, man?
Because I know you were entertained.
I was entertained. I, like, this was a roller coaster, and I think you even used to describe this movie in the Discord earlier this week, like buckle in for this roller coaster or something. Discord on Linktree/experiencegrind.
Good plug.
It, like, in the first couple of minutes, I was like, all I had going into this, I didn't see the trailer. I only had like, it's bad, so bad, it's good, it's bad. And so I went in with that preconceived notion. I'm like, holy shit, this is a dumpster. Dumpster. And then sure enough, I like, by the end of the movie, I was like, man, this is actually really moving. There's a lot of stuff going on. There was some funny stuff, like the whole Jewish wedding scene, yeah. Like the dinner scene, like that had me laugh. Like that had me laughing. It was really good. Like his scene being like, why can't you just say the word? It's been 10 months. Like that felt so raw and real and crazy at the end of the movie. I was so thoroughly entertained. And even the end, when I was just like, what the fuck? Like, why did that just have to happen? Like, why did, like, there's literally no seeds planted for this at all. At all. Maybe there's like one, but it felt like it was out of left field. And not even out of left field, but like out of the woods past left field. So for that, I'm knocking it 2 points and I'm giving it a 3.
Ooh, and okay.
I'm going to send it to you, Brian.
Yeah. Like I said, I watched this right after Birdemic, which much lower,
Five.
Much lower production, much higher entertainment value. Yeah, I think I was probably a victim of preconceived notions with this one. It's probably better than I'm giving it credit for. But I'm aware of that. I know that I probably had a very wrong context for watching this movie. But that's also kind of on the people who cut the trailer. Because it feels like an SNL sketch. Right down to like the here's the twist. Now we're going to dive in and now we're going to get really serious to drive the joke home. And yeah, it's just, I feel like in the hands of less capable actors, this would have been a glorious B movie. Cause it has the right ethos, the right heart. It's trying to send the right message. It's just acted too well by everybody, even though the characters themselves are one dimensional. It makes them feel more dimensional than they are because they're being so well acted. And I think it's probably detrimental to Matthew Bright's career, the director, because like this could have been played at midnight if he had shit actors in it and people would have eaten it up. I'm going to go with a 2. I'm feeling a 2 on this one. I got through it. I thought it felt long, but also like it was missing a lot. Which is crazy for a 90-minute movie, which is supposed to be a 2.5-hour movie. So yeah, 2. And I want to hear from Kyle.
I agree with you in every aspect, including the numerical score of this. It's a 2. I do hate this movie, but it's not a bad movie. The entertainment value you get out of it changes, I think, because it's not what you think it is. And having seen it twice before, like, I don't know if I'll ever honestly watch Tiptoes again. I have no fucking desire to. I think I've kind of wrung this rag dry at this point.
Third time's the charm, huh?
But that said, I was entertained at points to a degree, and I'll give it a point, if nothing else, than for David Greer's wig, because I really fucking like that. So, but I'm at a 2 with you as well. And Ryan, take it away.
This one might be my most conflicted category. I kind of agree with everybody. I don't really know where I fall. I don't know that I necessarily want this to be a bad movie, like, is so bad it's entertaining and to go worse, because I do think that would, I don't know, I think this real quickly gets into a tasteless territory, and I do really respect what they did when it comes to handling a very sensitive topic. I think they handle it very maturely, I think the drama is just a bit too mundane. I think there are flashes of like really good drama here. There's like a fight between Matthew McConaughey and Kate Beckinsale after the child's born where I'm like, oh shit, we're going Marriage Story. But it's like one little scene. But the rest is like this kind of very mundane familial drama. And if I'm going to a dramatic movie, I want like August Osage County. I want some like real fucked up character personality traits like on display. And they're just like bristling and brushing up against each other. And this wasn't quite to that like heated level that I would want from like an entertaining drama. So more so than like a bad movie, I just really wish they dialed in the drama and like really focus on that, because I do think there's something here. So I think I'm kind of at a 2, but in very different reasons and ways than Kyle and Brian arrived at the 2.
That's fair.
I'm not super positive. I didn't love it, but like I was intrigued by a lot of this, and I don't think on second viewing it would hold up very well, but for the first viewing, I was pleasantly
three.
Surprised.
Try three. All right, that is going to take us to our final category, which is direction. Matthew Bright, I'm going to kick this one off, I suppose. Matthew Bright, I don't know much about his career. I've heard of the movie Freeway, but I've never seen it, and I did hear about Ted Bundy. That he did right before this, which was a weirder take on the Ted Bundy story from what I've read. But like, other than that, he hasn't really done anything of note, probably because he did Tiptoes. People stopped giving him money. I'm pretty sure he got blacklisted because of this movie, because of the disagreements he had with the production company.
Oh, sure.
He got fired after he turned in his cut and then it was re-edited. Which is always a telltale sign of a good movie. When they fire the director and say, oh, we'll re-edit this and send it straight to DVD.
You pulled a Josh Trank.
Yeah, and I think the problem with that is you end up with a very middling movie.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the perfect way to describe this one. It's not a bad movie. It's not a great movie. They either needed to lean... They needed to lean in one direction harder, and they couldn't choose which one, so it ended up just being very down the middle. It is a movie. And I think a lot of that falls on Matthew Bright and some of the freaking choices that were made in this movie baffle me still. And maybe there's more to it because there's, you know, another hour of this movie out there somewhere. But it's just going to be another 2 from me. I feel like a 2 factory today. But I will send it to Ryan.
God, you said it so eloquently. I kind of was, going into direction maybe harsher, because I think this is kind of maybe hand in hand with style, and I think maybe the weaker parts of all of this. I'm also not familiar with Matthew Bright's filmography. I just looked through what he's done, and it's a whole bunch of shit I've never seen or even heard about. And that kind of feels appropriate. There's no real voice. There's no real unifying style or kind of like thing that comes through here. And that's not necessarily bad because there are filmmakers who do that well. Like Roland Emmerich is kind of that kind of filmmaker who does like these very different things. Does not have like one through voice, but it's fine. He can still make a movie. I don't know that this guy can make a really great movie. I think, and this is, again, it's a bummer because I'm grading this on an edited product that he is not directly capable of. So, right. Like, I probably should give this just, like, an NA because it's not his direction I saw. It is the studio's, if this is a studio cut. But still, like... Apparently, he shot enough that even a studio cut worked enough for me. You know, fuck it. Not only I was going to be at a 1 and then Brian talked me up to 2, but I think I fucking talked myself up to a 3. I think Damn. This guy is like middle of the road, nothing special, but like he made a fucking movie. He did it tastefully. He handled like a lot of like really like potentially like really bad things could have happened with this movie. And it just didn't. It's like the worst you can say is this movie's boring. And I don't fight you on that sometimes, but like, that's it. Like, it could have been so much worse. And this is even not his fucking cut. Yeah, three feels maybe high. I'm going to regret this probably, but I'm going to roll with it, Kyle.
I love it. So I'm interpreting this, the category is called direction, not director. So I'm giving it to the direction of this movie, which was garbage, I feel. It's competent. I can't give it zero. I am at a one, but you started to talk me up to a two, Ryan. But I think I'm sticking with my one, honestly.
Right, it's sure. Not a zero. I considered that a win coming from you tonight.
It wasn't going to be, because it. Again, I can't, it's a competent story. You understand what's happening, even if it's sloppy and all over the place. You understand why things are occurring, even if they don't make sense, like, character-wise or whatever. But still, there is a story, you can follow it. But, like, you know, I'm trying to include, again, all of the studio meddling that's very obvious. They fired the guy, they recut it. So that's why I'm giving it just direction. And it's a one. So yeah, Sean.
Much like a lot of the other sections, conflicted here, you know, on one end of the spectrum, you have Peter Dinklage calling the director's cut gorgeous and a beautiful film. And then you have the director. Also, you've got that. But then you have the studio's version that took something that was, the idea was to make something that was more serious and to take little people and not just make them little cute things. But of course, like, the studio is going to make it more commercial and make light of stuff like that, which is taking away from the intended vision. But on the other hand, you have this director who's working with Gary Oldman playing a little person, which completely defeats the whole point of this fucking movie. So it's like, it's so hard to speak for what the actual vision was outside of what you can take from what Peter Dinklage says and, you know, the actual director. But, you know, he has Gary Oldman playing a little person. Like, I'm going to go three.
Cool weapon bonus point. I'd nominate Gary Oldman's puppet legs.
Hey, let's go.
Cool weapon bonus point. David Alan Greer's wig.
Hey, there you go.
Just the hump on his shoulder.
I was going to nominate the hump, but I was like, that's too classless, Kyle. Don't do that.
Yeah, well, it's only there half the time, so... It's half classless. All right. We have a total score for Tiptoes. Before I tell you what it is,
it should be.
This movie had a 22 on Rotten Tomatoes critical and 24 audience. It's a low boy. It's a 4.2 on IMDb, though. So, Metacritic, it has not been scored. And on Letterboxd, it is a 1.8. We give it a 42, so we are right there with IMDb.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not far off from Letterboxd, which would be a 3.6.
A little bit higher than Letterboxd, way higher than Rotten Tomatoes, but... Mm-hmm.
Much higher than Rotten Tomatoes, yeah. That's surprising. I guess it's not.
It's also no, not.
Because you got a bunch
I'm
of...
just on IMDb, and the fucking box art for this movie is the most ridiculous.
Dude, I love me some bad box art from the aughts.
Me too.
Like, what is so what is this even? What is this trying to say?
Can you describe it for us, Kyle?
It's an audio podcast. Tiptoes, and there's a fucking, like, an orchard, and then there's the picture of the four main cast. You have Patricia Arquette wearing a happy birthday tiara, then Matthew McConaughey. Just in his suit, and then Kate Beckinsale with her poodle poofs,
her
lingerie, and then Gary Oldman, and none of them are looking at each other. They're just badly photoshopped.
That Gary Oldman picture, he looks like David Spade.
100%.
He was looking pretty David Spadey in this movie.
If I saw this box art and I rented it and I got home and it wasn't David Spade, and after being excited for seeing David Spade, I would go eat some Tide Pods.
You would have gone into the movie the same expectations I did going into this movie.
Also, stylistically, what was up with, like, when Tiptoes appeared on the screen, all of the O's just got bit elongated. Like, it was
God, that was some of the worst typography I've ever seen. It I hated
drove
it.
Me crazy.
Yep, it was me awful. Too. Me too.
You guys taking any points away?
No. You know what's
bad, though? No, I already shit like, on I'm style. The style's awful. I said what I said. Style be dead.
Kyle's like, 42 is too high for this movie.
Kyle, I'm going to increase. Brian, can you increase style to a 5, please?
No. No, legally, I cannot do that. Right, I'm pretty sure.
In graffiti.
If you do that, Peter Dinklage and Matthew McConaughey and Gary Oldman show up to your house and say,
circle jerk.
Why?
What a fun party.
Circle jerk time.
Awesome.
Where's the lotion, boys?
Kate Beckinsale will be like, I wish I could have seen that.
Oh my god. Man, did you guys I toned out for a minute there early on in the episode. You know, ADHD, it happens. Did you guys bring up the fact that like
thinking about the Tonys?
I was thinking about the Cindys. It happened in the chat that you can find on the Discord.
That's right. You can chat with us and distract us while we record if you're on our Discord.
Yeah. So I found out that I can hold E and it gives me all of the accents. Fantastic.
Yeah. Oh, that's tight.
Yeah, it's amazing. So anyways, she finds out that his entire family's little people, and then like she storms his freaking training session and like unloads on him, and then like 2 minutes later she's like, what, do you have a problem with it? Like, what's wrong with you? And I was like,
that change was so fast.
What so just fast. Happened? I just got whiplash.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Also, was he not going to be home for a week because he was doing firefighter training 10 minutes from the house?
Right?
Yep.
Where he's yelling at one slightly overweight recruit
and then calls her a hippie for being like, I don't know, around 10 trees.
Mm-hmm. And also just having like basic human empathy.
Right? Oh my God. That poor.
Also, I tried to hold E to bring that up, and my keyboard just went E.
Same.
It's a Mac thing.
It's a Mac thing.
Yep, there you go.
Boom.
Any vowel.
You know, if you hit the FN button twice, you can use emojis.
I have a dedicated emoji button.
Oh, well,
Control E does that.
Yeah. I'm going to try out this new one I heard, which is Alt F and 4. That might do something. Hold on.
Alt F and 4 will do absolutely nothing.
The emoji button. I don't have
You do have an emoji
which is
button.
Crazy because cool. I have two blank buttons up there.
That's just apparently a light.
Drop my phone, which means this is going off the rails, which is this is what we typically save for the Patreon shit.
Exactly.
This random ass chatting. It's honestly kind of like a fever dream, but they're like half an hour fun episodes where we're just improving and riffing off each other and just cracking up and having a good time. Honestly, I referenced what we recorded multiple times earlier and I no longer remember anything besides.
So if you want to find out about Tony
and Tim Meadows, head on over to linktree.com/experiencegrind or to patreon.com/experiencegrind. Sign up for as little as $400,000. Money, please. You can get episodes every week, and once you're paying they're free, so $400,000 you get a free episode every
girl
week.
Math.
Somebody just got insulted. That was more inappropriate than Gary Oldman on his knees. But in that link tree you can find a link to our Discord where we're hanging out, chatting, sharing food. We got a bracketology section where Ryan, what's the next bracket that's coming up? Man. It's a monster.
Favorite scents and smells. This is all Kyle's brain, baby, and everybody latched on. So we now have a 64 entry bracket, which is a fucking insane it's amount. Amazing. Yeah, the text is so small on the image. I'm
it's
sorry,
like the only
y'all.
Thing I submitted too. And everybody's like, yeah, that one.
Yeah, and yep. pipe tobacco only appeared twice. So yeah. I'm that's really insane. Curious about the other 62.
I'm surprised it popped up once.
I was trying to figure out a way to put tobacco, to submit tobacco without it sounding like I just want to smell people smoking, because that's terrible.
Because that's awful.
That's terrible, but like tobacco.
Grandpa's pipe tobacco.
Very good.
Pipe Grandpa's pipe tobacco.
Yeah, that is much more specific. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Brilliant.
So if you guys, if you were a sucker like I am for clicking on something and voting on it, not necessarily because you like it.
Complaining about the outcome. Yeah.
And not necessarily because you like that option, but you click to see who voted and you're like, yo, like that person, that you is vote fun. The other way. Yeah.
I knew that's how Sean voted.
Not always. Sometimes, though.
Sometimes you just got to bring balance to the force.
To the crazies. Like, who the fuck? Like, Nightmare Before Christmas? Fuck out of here, man.
Get out of here. Ryan, what are we talking about next week?
So boom, I'm gonna pop this in the chat because it's a title you'll forget. Next week we are talking about Junta Yamaguchi's Beyond the Infinite 2 Minutes. Kyle's right, it's a 70-minute movie. So one, it's a short ass movie. Two,
like that,
it is a one take where it's a time loop movie, but instead of Groundhog's Day where it's like every day resets,
what,
every 2 minutes resets and they have to figure a way out. Oh,
that's cool. And it's in one take?
And it's a one take. It's remarkable, and I've been waiting to share this one with you guys. So it's, I think, on Tubi and Amazon, so easy to watch.
I already have a boner.
Let's go.
I think you're in for something special. Or you're going to hate it and break my heart, in which case, that's great podcasting, baby.
Hell sure yeah. Is. I thought this movie was going to be more fun to talk about than it was to watch. I think I was right.
I think so. I had a great time talking about it.
I had a hell of a good time talking about this movie. And I'm not upset at all that I watched it.
This is my third time seeing it. I'm done talking about it.
I really enjoyed the Patreon. You guys should go get that one. This was one of the better Patreons we've done in a while. No lie.
It was fun.
All right. Next week, Beyond the Infinite 2 Minutes. Until then, go belittle yourself. That one works two ways.